You know, the second thing that put this topic really on the radar this year were a pair of cert petitions that came out of a Sixth Circuit case called Lindenberg versus Jackson National Life Insurance Company. And that case gave rise to some passionate separate writings in connection with the court's refusal to take that case en banc. To decide what the standards were going to be in the Sixth Circuit for certification. Lindenberg is worth studying. Aside from the gripes, really, that the Sixth Circuit itself lacked a standard set of considerations for utilizing the certification tool, what we see from Lindenberg and what we learn from it is that the circuits are really in a state of disarray. So I thought we would talk about Lindenberg just for a little bit. I'm hoping that we'll see some different ways of looking at the certification problem and the set of considerations that warrant its use. And maybe we'll end up with a more robust set of considerations or maybe a more robust way of thinking about the same factors that we're used to seeing when the Fifth Circuit is talking about possibly certifying a question to the Supreme Court of Texas. And hopefully we'll get some fresh perspectives. So let's talk about some of the variation among the circuits. You know, I think that this quote, certification, not prognostication, captures quite a bit. The threshold really consideration for most circuits is going to be whether state law is unsettled or uncertain. In some circuits, uncertainty of state law alone is enough. In other circuits, it's not. But it is treated as a threshold question. As I said, in some circuits, you know, it's the only factor. But in other circuits, they have different tests, including this last one that's on the screen. I think that's the 10th Circuit, says they want the question to be sufficiently novel such that the court feels uncomfortable attempting to answer that question without further guidance from the state Supreme Court. But other circuits have different requirements. They want the question to be new. But they vary on what it means for a question to be new or what it means for the question to be one of first impression. In particular, there's disagreement about the impact or the existence of intermediate state court decisions that provide guidance on the question. And so let's talk about what I'll call uncertainty plus, those circuits that have an uncertainty plus test. In some circuits, that plus factor are things like state sovereignty interests are at stake or important public policy questions. Other states will accept a likelihood of recurrence as a proxy for importance. Other circuits still who follow an uncertainty plus approach we'll take as a plus factor whether the question involves not just public policy, but competing public policies. Yet in some of those circuits, we see that the pendency of the issue in state court in another case will weigh really against certification. Let's talk about a few more factors that we see when we look at these other circuits. State constitutional questions are great sources for certified question cases. Certification grew out of the abstention doctrine, actually out of the Pullman abstention doctrine, and out of some dissatisfaction with Pullman abstention, and certification became a more flexible and malleable tool that had benefits that Pullman abstention did not. And Pullman abstention applied when you had both federal constitutional questions and state constitutional questions in the same case. The federal court would retain jurisdiction over the case and stay it so that the state court could resolve the state constitutional questions in the hopes that that would obviate the need to resolve the federal question. But ultimately, there was some dissatisfaction. So certification was born. So when you have state to constitutional questions, but your case is in federal court, because there are other questions there, state constitutional questions are a great candidate. So are state statutes, as are concerns that are typically regulated by states, things that are core matters of state sovereignty, like oil and gas cases, insurance cases. But let's shift and talk about the Fifth Circuit's test in the Chevin case. So the Fifth Circuit has articulated its test in a case, and even the modern day articulation usually cites back to the Chevin case. And the circuit will say, you know, we have invariably, or we have occasionally cited Chevin, but not invariably, but they frequently lay out the Chevin test, which has three components. The first is really the closeness of the question, the state law question, and the existence or non-existence of sufficient sources of state law. The second one is really the degree to which comity is relevant. The last factor listed in the Chevin test are practical limitations. And sometimes the court just lists it that way, and other times it expands on that a little bit and says, you know, such as delay or possible inability to frame the question in a way that is going to produce a helpful response from the state Supreme Court.